You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking at Cubs baseball today on this Friday, November 10th, with Kerry Muscat, our Cubs reporter for MLB.com. And, Kerry, as we're talking right now on this Friday, you're obviously in the Windy City, and it is currently snowing. Is this true, and how disturbing is this on November 10th?
The snow came a little too early, but it's a reminder that it's the off season and time for the teams to get to work.
Yeah, I mean, I guess no more stark reminder that it truly is the off season. The summer and the fall, for that matter, is over, and winter is certainly on its way. Well, Kerry, with that in mind, on the agenda today, we'll talk about Anthony Rizzo just cleaning up in the Humanitarian Award Department, recently winning the Marvin Miller Man of the Year Award. We'll talk about John Lackey maybe coming back for another season in the bigs, and we'll talk about the search for a pitching coach as Chris Bosio is now the new man in Detroit. But, Kerry, obviously the sad news that has dominated baseball and the sports world this week has been the tragic passing of a former two-time Cy Young winner, Roy Halladay, at the age of 40. It just shook up the entire baseball world. And, you know, Kerry, this is a guy that's, I think, whether – as a reporter, if you covered him directly or not, you know, he had such an impact on the game and on his teammates and on opponents as well. How did you hear of this tragic news, and obviously give us your reaction to it?
Well, I think I heard about it the way most everyone else did, which was, you know, social media, saw it on Twitter. I mean, I obviously watched Halladay when he pitched for the Phillies against the Cubs. The angle that I took is Tim Wilkin used to be the Cubs director of scouting. He also was the one who signed Halladay with the Blue Jays. And I contacted him this week, and he told me the story about when he first saw him in pitching as a high school pitcher in Colorado. And in fact, Tim had just found his report. He remembered the exact date. It was April 14th, 1995. And he had the report with him, and Tim had actually planned. Tim now lives in Clearwater, Florida, which is near where Halladay lives, and had planned on Monday to deliver that report to Halladay as kind of a souvenir, because Halladay is a pitching coach at a high school down there in Clearwater. Halladay wasn't there at that particular game. The team has done very well with him as the pitching coach, obviously. I think they went undefeated and won the Florida State Championship. But Tim was a little sad that he didn't get to see him on Monday, and then everyone found out the news on Tuesday, which was very heartbreaking. And Tim, you know, remembered in his report, he'd written, you know, that Halladay had a quick arm, loose, flexible delivery, plus to plus plus fastball with a good life on it, and graded him as a first round pick, which the Blue Jays ended up doing that year. They were lucky because there was another team that was interested in him, just happened to be the Phillies. Tim was a little nervous that maybe the Phillies would jump on him, but they went a different direction. So Halladay was available in at number 17. Not many teams would take a high school pitcher, but Halladay was that good that Tim thought it was worth the risk, and turned out to be a perfect match. The other thing he told me, which was interesting, is when Roy was in high school, there was a coach there who suggested that he start running cross country to sort of build up his stamina. And Halladay ended up finishing third in the state in his cross country meets, which was pretty good. But it also could be part of the reason why he's running in Colorado, and with the altitude there, that helps build up too. That could also sort of explain and contribute to the fact that he had so many complete games and that he did so well.
Yeah, I mean, that's fascinating stuff, and it explains so much, because a lot of the stories I've heard from other reporters is that, you know, nobody could hang with this guy in the workout department. I mean, he was at the training facility before anybody else. He outworked, outran, outlifted, out everything to everybody else. And a big reason why, as you said, he had so many complete games, and he was just a rare breed in that department. And such a tragic loss for baseball, and he was, you know, beyond being a great athlete and competitor, a tremendous person, a wonderful husband, a wonderful father to two kids, and gone just far, far too soon. But Kerry, great recollections there, great stories about Roy Halladay to illustrate the kind of person he was, and the kind of loss that this is, not just for baseball, but for the sports world as well. Carrie, to try to transition from that and to talk about another guy that is every bit, you know, the human being, I feel, that Roy Halladay certainly was, and that's Anthony Rizzo. And Anthony continues to kind of clean up in terms of the humanitarian awards that baseball gives out every year. First during the World Series, awarded the Roberto Clemente Award, and now given the Marvin Miller Man of the Year Award. And you know, Carrie, I know you've covered this guy, you know, for his entire Cubs tenure. And when you talk to him, I mean, do you just continue to be blown away by the kind of person he is? Because it seems like just when it seems that he can't do anything else to enhance his reputation as a human being, he does something, and it just makes you feel like that you're really talking to somebody truly special here.
Well, I think the best thing about Anthony is that he has a great perspective on life, and he gets that mainly because he's a cancer survivor himself. And he knows what it was like to be terrified by the disease, and he knows what it was like to beat it. And that's the message that he's able to pass on to kids. And I went to his foundation's very first event, which was a walkathon, six years ago. I've been to four of the five, and they're having their sixth on December 3rd. In Parkland, Florida. If anybody's in the area, they should go, because it's just a really nice 5K walk around a park. They just do a really nice job in handling it, and to see how far his foundation has come from that little event to where he's giving back $3.5 million to a Chicago hospital to help them in terms of their battle against cancer, and to try and help kids and families deal with it better. Anthony's a special guy, and again, it's he has a special and unique perspective on this that also helps him. You know, people might get upset when he goes into a slump or if he has an 0-for-4 day. I mean, seriously, he's had to look cancer in the face, and so 0-for-4 doesn't mean much to him.
Yeah, and nor should it. Like you said, he's got tremendous perspective on life to the point where if he hits a skid for a couple of games, big deal. It's a game, and he understands that better than most, and it's great to see him being rewarded by Major League Baseball with all these humanitarian awards. No one deserves it more. Carrie, transitioning from that to Jason Hayward. He wins his fifth career Gold Glove. He's obviously won it both years as a member of the Cubs, and you know, we've talked about his offensive struggles and the way he's trying to reshape and revamp his form at the plate, and that's still kind of a work in progress. But in terms of just pure defense and in terms of the players that you've seen over the years, you know, I don't know if Hayward is the very best you've seen, but I got to think he's near the top, correct?
Well, I always thought Andre Dawson was the best right fielder I'd ever seen for the Cubs, and it turns out Hayward is now the second outfielder in Cubs franchise history to win multiple Gold Gloves, and he joins Dawson. The fact that Jason also missed quite a few games because he'd injured his hand, it's nice to know that his defense was still recognized. He's never, to his credit, as much as he has struggled at the plate, he has never taken that into the field. He has always been a consummate pro out there, and I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes this next season with the new hitting coach. Chili Davis is now taking over as the hitting coach for the Cubs, and it'll be interesting to see if maybe Chili can sort of get Jason back on track.
Yeah, and Chili had success with a lot of players during his Red Sox tenure, and maybe he can work some of that magic with Jason Hayward. And if he becomes even half the offensive player that he is defensively, you're talking about a perennial all-star, no question there. So, Carrie, as you said, a new hitting coach in terms of being Chili Davis. Chris Bosio has moved on. He's now the man in Detroit. What is the search like on the pitching end alongside Joe Maddon?
Well, Jim Hickey, who used to be Maddon's pitching coach in Tampa Bay, will join the Cubs. It just hasn't officially been announced yet. They haven't signed the paperwork, dotted the I's, crossed the T's, that kind of thing. And the Cubs have just said they want to wait to announce kind of the whole coaching staff at one time. Unfortunately, things have been sort of coming out in bits and pieces. The day before this, it was announced that Brandon Hyde will stay with the team, but he's going to switch from first base coach back to being the bench coach, which is a role that he had in 2014 and also a role that he had with Jack McKeon with the Marlins. So it'll be a familiar role for Brandon. He also was on Madden's staff you know, for the last 3 years. So that's an easy transition for him, too. Joe knows him, trusts him. And it really, Brandon had pretty much handled a lot of the bench coach duties in the last 3 years in terms of organizing spring training. And cause people always wonder, what does a bench coach do? And, you know, it's not like he sits on the bench. He's really actually has a lot of duties, and Brandon's a pro, and he can handle that. The best thing about this is that Brandon has a young son, Colton, who's 11 years old, and it's always fun to watch. I think fans can relate. They've seen Brandon and Colton out in the outfield with Brandon pitching to him and Colton hitting home runs all the time. So it'll be kind of nice to know that Colton and Brandon will still be out there working in the outfield.
Yeah, maybe a future Cubs slugger in the mist. You never know. Kerry Muscat, great stuff as always, especially the Roy Halladay contributions. Some fascinating stories about the late, great Cy Young winner. And we thank you for the time. We'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.